And 34.
What's that?
That's the progress. Okay. It's official.
Okay, let's have our Pledge of Allegiance by Ms. Chill Out Chillemi.
You're able to, please stand. Hand over your heart.
All right. The roll call, please, David. Our new official secretary.
Official.
Okay. Let's see, Elaine Genoway.
Didn't hear from her. Anyone heard from her? Oh, she has a tough trek.
She had an event last night. I talked to her yesterday.
Okay.
But she didn't say she wasn't coming. She might roll in.
Okay.
Jean Hernandez.
Here.
Meredith Chalini.
Present.
Barbara Swont.
Present.
Sandy Strang.
Present.
Stang. Like Mustang without
the Mustang. Meaning.
Stang. The Mustang.
That's right.
Okay. And Dave Tetzloff. But we have a quorum.
I like how we all have nicknames.
You should have all got nicknames. Okay. Public comments. Do we have any members of the public here? I think so. Do we?
No,
okay. All right. Office on Aging updates. Now your credibility has been turned. Give us an update.
Where do I start? Okay, so update on Holco. Holco is the company that has been retained by the state of California to do a PSOA. It is a community assessment of senior adults. I think that's it, something like that. Of older adults.
Two new acronyms.
Yeah, CASOA. So we just got a request for our logo, even though Polco is the company that will be sending out the information. We submitted our logo and it's going out under Claudia's name so that people recognize that it's from the county is participating in this. It's not ours. It's totally different. This is a statewide assessment that has been done. We just got a draft of the materials yesterday. So middle of June, there will be a postcard going out to a select group of individuals, 60 and over. Sorry, yeah, 60 and over, followed by a notification or a letter that they have been selected to participate in the survey. They can either do it online or they will have a paper survey that will come with that letter. They've been asked not to do it twice, obviously. For reasons. And then in September, the results will be all calculated and it will be made available to us. Now, the good thing about this Holco platform is it's going to be available to the County of Orange for the next 4 years. Should we ever decide ourselves that there is an area where we want to do an assessment, where we want to identify whether or not there's an issue or get more input from the community. It's a very dynamic product that we can put all of the customized questions in there ourselves and then either put it out online or put it out in paper format. So that's coming down the pike by the end of this month.
Are we gonna give the results or obtain the results to give to the master plan people, the local master plan people?
Yeah, the results will be available.
Yeah.
They will not be available by neighborhood. They're only gonna drill down by county and they're not even gonna be available by zip code. So it'll be county district wide. So there's been a lot of concern about that and we've expressed that to the state, but they're not budget.
So it's county by supervisor district.
It'll be county by district. The demographics will be in there, but you won't be able to allocate it to a particular.
They're doing it for their state planning.
What is the logo you're referring to? Is it that logo?
Yes, it's the Office on Aging. It's the Office on Aging logo.
Three columns, orange.
And would you tell us the acronym?
I will actually tell you what it is. It is.
Sounds like fucking.
Because so it's CASOA is the acronym.
C.
Oh, I'm sorry, CASOA. And it stands for Community Assessment Survey of Older Adults.
What's the P for?
Oh, it's CASOA.
C is in hat.
Correct.
Yes.
Community Assessment of Older Adults.
CASOA.
Correct.
So, I'm not even going to try.
So, so that's one thing. Now, here's who. Oh, hi, Elaine.
Hello.
Community assessment of
older adults. So we're not senior citizens anymore. We're now old.
Senior citizens has been gone everywhere else.
Older adults.
Yeah.
More mature experience.
Well, it keeps out too many people that don't think that they're a senior.
Right.
So that's what I think one of the reasons.
Good luck. Your body will tell you what you are.
Well, seniors, many of us think it's 65 and older. And like what Meredith experienced when she was trying to recruit people,
50.
When you say the word senior, they're like, oh, I'm not a senior because they're 50 or 52. So it's one of the way to read. That's what we discovered too.
Say, are you getting an AARP request for membership?
Yes.
If you are, then you're a senior. Well, it's one to be called a senior.
I'm 49 and I got the email.
A senior citizen.
Well, not everyone's a citizen either.
Well, but it's senior citizen, say senior citizen. I imagine someone just listen to a conversation.
It reminds me of the 1980s going to pick up your free cheese.
I like older adults. You're right. Senior is like open out the back.
Sorry. Kind of thing. What's the age? Because I mean, there's a difference between the county, difference with the cities. Our city can join
it
the senior
can be anywhere from 55 and up.
Yeah, well, in our city, you can join the senior center at 50.
Right.
So next year, I'm there.
There you are.
And there's the sure. And then there's IHOP and the movie theaters. They all have different ages. So
speaking of which, this is the first time this happened to me. Last week, we went to see the book club. My husband and I loved it.
Yes.
Walked up to the table to the desk to get our tickets. And the guy says to us, would you like two seniors? I look at him like,
yes.
I'm there. I'm like, okay. I said, sure. That's the first time that's happened.
They think we're 100, those young kids behind the counter.
My mom is now 77, and for the last 2 months, people have started to call her dear in public.
Dear?
Dear.
My son, Raymond, he had a meeting with the youth committee, and he was on the first youth committee. He's 37 now.
Yeah.
And the youth for the high schoolers thought said he was vintage.
Vintage. So you can imagine what they think about
new names coming up here.
They think they're being
polite. But people don't call you dear, I bet, public, right?
No.
I don't like ma'am either.
Dear, why would they call you guys too?
She's really
I think you guys that we grew up with.
Yeah.
Like old people, bam.
I think it's polite. And I only say that because there is not one person in the military that will not call a lady regardless.
Yeah,
ma'am.
Yeah, right.
Their age is ma'am.
I'm sure we're living down south.
Yeah,
I got so tired of it.
There was a phrase that David's uncle, and he was Texan. And larger than life, Uncle Stanley. And he came in and he said, darling.
Darling.
No, it's not darling, it's darling.
Darling. Well, hi there, darling.
That's right, darling. All right, as fascinating as that is,
So I want to move on to, it actually segues into SCAC attendance. Just an FYI for you guys, there are three members of SCAC that have missed more than three meetings. They are Amelia Castro, Jim Levy, and Dave Sullivan. So they will all be getting letters indicating that you've missed three meetings and therefore you've automatically vacated your position.
So Jim Levy couldn't get there because of the access ban.
Yeah, that's true. And Jeff, Jeff or Rita's too.
Oh, he doesn't have to go.
We have to hold that position.
But that's part of our bylaws update.
Yeah, Jim tries to. Yeah, I'd be a little.
I don't know. I think that would be
smart.
He was really under poor health. And then he was hospitalized.
And he's been on so long, I hate to just say, okay, sick, accident, okay, you're out of here.
And I did contact him before last meeting.
Well, he always lets me know if he can't make it.
The first time I met him, he was at Senior Citizens.
Yeah.
And then he indicated that he was going to be gone for several weeks because he's going back east. So.
And he asked.
I'm going by what the bylaws.
Right.
So you have to automatically send the letter. Is that how it works?
They do, but.
No, you would indicate.
Here's what I pulled off on him, Pauline. Just let's see.
Grant him like some type of a waiver.
I'm not sure what that necessarily, but he has good reasons and he's been here a long time.
And I have listed it as 1, 2, 3 of those absences. Excuse. When did the bylaws?
There is no such thing.
But Jim is probably.
He could also just come and so basically have the same function as a member of the public. So
when was
one row over? I still think that
they're doing it now. Those haven't been.
No, I mean, these that we.
Well, as far as excused absences, those are two sets of bylaws ago when the county councils gave us the template.
So the current bylaws that we are.
They don't care why you're
not. Proposed. Don't care why you're not.
Right.
No, but the current bylaws that we're working on.
They don't care why we're not.
When was that initiated?
Couple of
January?
Years.
No.
Well,
a couple of years ago.
Because
years
those ago. Are the ones
no.
that
were no, they were modified in June of 2022.
Okay.
No, and even before that. We had to do it twice.
Okay, and the ones I'm working.
We did it the December before, and then we did it June 22, but I'm saying the December before. Is
but Sullivan has been on the committee had to 25 years. Staff.
He has, but he has not been attending for quite some time.
Well, he attended online. All that.
Who did?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think,
you know,
I think that's an issue for him in
transportation.
But he hasn't. He attended the January one, and he's attended.
Did you say something about it'll be reviewed by the chair and it can be.
Oh
no,
our dentist.
Not the new ones.
We have no discretion.
No, we don't.
If he's kicked off. Because those are executive committee appointments.
We can reappoint them.
But we're going to get the same results if they.
Yeah, but why kick somebody off, put them back on? I mean, then why kick
that's,
them off?
That doesn't, that does not make sense.
But well, we can do it.
He can also stay on senior citizens engagement. I'm just brainstorming. And not have the same threshold for attendance, then it won't be a problem.
Is this attendance out of SCAC? Membership or just exec or what?
It's in general. There's no specific the criteria for automatic vacation of a committee is across the board. It doesn't matter whether you're appointed by the Board of Supervisors or you're appointed. Well, I take that back because the Board of Supervisors is different. But City Selection Committee.
They can exempt.
They can, that's not the word I would use, but their term, there's criteria when you're appointed by a member of the board. You shall serve the term of the member of the board. That's you shall serve alongside the board member that appointed you for the duration of that term. You still have to reapply, but same kind of.
I think this came about because we were always had trouble getting people to SCAC or getting membership. So we weren't anxious to kick people off if they, Jim had a desire to come for medical reasons or transportation reasons that could make it. So we were a lot more flexible. But you're right, that does then lead to people that.
I think I can see both sides of the coin on this one because I can see people who are genuinely like Jim Levy, who has a genuine interest and for reasons beyond his control, like illness or whatever, he had to miss. I think there should be something that allows for that. But how do you verify that? You take someone at their word? Because you can't ask for a sick note. You can't ask for anything.
He says it. When he writes me why he's not going to be, he tells me the reason. So I know what it is.
But you're talking one individual.
Well, we know during this time he's had open heart surgery and all those other
things. Right. But you have other people who have said, I'm not feeling well. I'm not going to be there today. And they're off on a vacation. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's.
Well, see, when we used to have the excused absences, people would say, I'm going on vacation. And those people there were several of them that would miss a lot of meetings, but as long as they kept having excused absences, meaning they told the chair either before or right after the meeting, then that was okay. And it really wasn't, because they weren't here to do the work. But there needs to be some sort of grace for those who do have...
Especially older adults that are aging.
Well, yeah.
It's an old...
Right.
It's an older group, whereas many...
Having illness issues.
Right.
That they can't...
Well,
I don't know that it's up to the group, because I know
it's not the bylaws.
Times we have the bylaws, that was the
it's not. Council. Its bylaws are very clear, as pointed out.
It's the bylaws couldn't be clearer. It's like you miss three consecutive meetings or five meetings in a year, which is half of the amount. There's 10 meetings a year. If you miss five of them, doesn't matter when, you're gone.
It just doesn't match up with our values.
Right.
So what's the definitions within the bylaws?
The definition is three, if you miss three consecutive meetings, and consecutive meetings means the meeting, the general council meeting, not the subcommittees, the general council meeting. So if you miss three consecutive or five in a given year.
Five in a given year is a lot.
That's why I did attempt to reapply to just senior
citizens. However you guys want to do this, that's all our bylaw. That should be our guiding star, I guess.
Yeah.
So we'll send the letters out. The same, reap the hate.
Well, we don't even have a choice because someone else sends the letters out.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't send the letters out?
No. This sheet.
The clerk
of the board.
Right.
Automatically does it?
We notify based on this sheet, the attendance record.
She does it because we tell her to do it.
We tell her that here's the attendance record. We keep track of people who have met. We have to follow the bylaws. So we have to have a tracking system. And Jim has, the first time I saw Jim, and I joined in January, was at the Senior Citizens Engagement Committee meeting. And I know he sounds like a very dedicated individual.
Oh, he is. And he's been online the whole time, never missed online.
If you grant the exception, then what if Dave Sullivan comes back?
I know the reasoning and the thinking, and you're right, there's no good excuse.
I know, it sounds harsh, because it sounds like he's a good guy. You know,
well, Dave was really dedicated for many years too.
Wasn't he chair? I know he was on the board.
Dave was chair. Yeah, so it was chair. He's got medical issues too, though.
Oh yeah,
we haven't heard that. I haven't heard a word from Dave.
That's true. But
so when they're appointed by the city and you have to send them a letter and their 2-year term is up, there's nothing in there that says we might like you to stay on, or could you think of, no?
There's no one appointed by the city. It's either the supervisors, the city's
election committee,
which is the mayors of the cities in that
district. When you're a new person and you get that letter, it sounds harsh.
Yeah.
We don't need them. That's why I called her. She says, well, they don't want me. That was what she took up.
But she was a board appointment.
Right.
She wasn't a staff appointment.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's been resolved.
That's been resolved.
And she wasn't making the meetings?
No, she was. But what happened is
her term was to be
Victor instead and voided someone else.
It's okay. Yes, so we found an issue for it. Okay. I got it. That's different than
what's going on, Jim and Dave.
So Amelia Castro.
Yeah, we haven't seen her in a long time.
No.
Jim Levy.
And she didn't come online a lot either.
And Dave Sullivan. Yeah.
What's her story?
I see on Facebook a lot of pictures with her son forward. And fine. I think well, this may not people be
their priority
right now.
Okay.
That's okay though.
Yeah.
Have you reviewed the letter we send, by the way?
Or a phone call made by you that says you've missed two. Have you missed the next one? Off. It should be.
Letter. It should be that understand that life takes over. You got other commitments. When you have your time free again and see fit, that you can maybe devote time to this. We'd love to have you back. Something along those lines, as opposed to hey, you missed this. Our bylaws say you're out.
It's not like that. We have a little bit more.
That's what I asked. What do we say?
We don't say anything. The board.
What's this letter say? That goes
the clerk of the board sends out a letter that says basically to the effect that we thank you for your service on the SCAC council. You have served, or you have, according to the bylaws, if you miss blah, 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 you must vacate your position. We hope that when your time is scheduled permits in the future, we see you back.
Okay.
So it's not, it's not like by. It's
but also what would help is maybe at our meetings, that's part of the meeting, just reminding people of
that's
the
attendance policy. That's what Dave is gonna do. I think Rob.
Yeah, please don't make fan of these are our bylaws. If you can't make it, hey, we get it, but unfortunately
that's what I appreciate.
Yeah, perfect.
Okay. But I mean to everybody before they get into that position.
Idea.
And then also remind them that if they miss half the meeting, it's an absence.
Yeah,
so,
I mean,
if they come in late and they've only got 10 minutes left, well, sorry, but that's an absence. So
I think as time and resources permit, that's good for us to do that. I think as a matter of courtesy, we should, the secretary should inform people when they've missed two meetings or they've missed four throughout the year and they're now coming up on the fifth one. But at the same time, it is the responsibility of every committee member to keep track of their attendance and participation in meetings. Mm-hmm. They get the information in the bylaws. They know exactly what's happening. For example, we have two new members coming up, two city selection committee members. And they are Ann Kurtz-Mallory.
Mallory.
Yes,
Mallory.
She's Cypress.
Cypress City Council. City Selection Committee District 1.
So she's replacing Paola?
Yes.
Yes. So, and then the second one that's coming on is Nathan Steele. He's Seal Beach City Council member. He was also appointed City Selection District 1 Representative 2. So, or Representative, yeah. Representative one. He was the first one.
I know Andrew. I don't know Nathan. I know of him, but I don't.
They both got letters welcoming them. Desiree and her people sent out letters welcoming them with a whole list of like attachments with the bylaws and the forms they need to fill out, the code of ethics and everything else. So that went out to them the other day. So I'm expecting them to be at the July meeting.
Is Evelyn still on staff?
Evelyn Velez is not.
She wasn't going to be able to come in person, she said.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So she resigned. So three going off, two coming on.
I've got another one here I think I mentioned earlier to you. Gracie Vandermark from Huntington Beach. She was at City Selection, and she said, hey, what is she? I know her. And she said, what is this SCAC? Can I put in for that? And she put in for it, but somebody else, I think, from that district had already been appointed. And there was some issue that she couldn't get appointed that there. So I said, well, we have another way we can go, and that's through our group saying this. So I just called her, and she still is interested and wants to serve. So
if she wants to fill out an application, have her fill it out. And
can I get you to call her, Pauline? Would you do that and tell her what she needs to do? Can I give you that? She's a good person. 323.
Wait, what's her name again?
Gracie, G-R-A-C-E-Y, Vandermark. Vandermark.
Okay.
And her mobile is 323-356-7171. So I just called her. No, she's, I said, are you still interested? Yes, I am. I said, okay.
You know what? I have a little concern. I'm just thinking of what Pauline said, though. I'm backtracking. Sorry. About the standing committees and there's no attendance requirement. But it is a requirement of being a member of staff to be a member of a standing committee. But you can be, so this means you can be on the standing committee and never go to the meetings?
Correct.
I
didn't know we had that.
Yeah, we used to, but we used to have the attendance.
Probably that's going to be a moot point when we try to.
How can you be on a standing committee if you never go?
I know. I know in the past we have booted people. That's not the correct word. A reminder of this responsibility, and if you're not able to attend, then you really can't participate in SCAC because that's where the work should be done, is at the standing committee meeting.
Well, hopefully with the new bylaws and level setting,
that
won't be a problem.
So
it is a commitment because right now it's three meetings a month.
Right now, everyone's driving all over the place.
For us, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If we can be more efficient, that would be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
And those could be Zoom.
There are two people that have also submitted applications. I sent them to you, Irene Rose or something like that. And
yes.
Andrew Nguyen.
Andrew Nguyen, I think it is.
You have contacted them?
I have.
Okay. They have yet to come to a committee meeting.
They were told. Are you sending them? Do they know? Are they getting the information to come?
No, they're not getting the agendas to come. They're not members yet. I mean,
well, they need to know when the meeting is. I told them when the last two were, which they could make. They said they could make.
Okay, so Dave, maybe you can contact them and tell them when the meetings are. The information, if you've given it to them, the information is the agendas are available online every month.
Yeah, nobody's checking that.
Yeah, but if they can't check online, that's their issue. Charlene wants to.
I know.
And she couldn't go to that last meeting, so she'll go to the next one.
But I don't think she doesn't. She's an exception to the rule on that one because she has been to meetings. She has served on this committee. And recently, Andrew Nguyen, I believe, when I spoke to him, told me, oh, I've been on the committee many years ago. Well, okay, I'm sorry. We're starting from scratch because things have changed. So you need to come.
Not since I've been. I mean, so it's more than 8 years ago.
So
does Charlene.
I will send you information.
We're talking about Charlene.
To reach out. They need to attend the respect general meeting and one of any of the subcommittees. As a guest or as a just to come and sit in the audience.
Are you glad that you're here for all this discussion about it?
Yeah. All right. So I think that takes care of item 5 and 6.
Well, I would have one addition to that. Just be looking at my notes. Denise Barnes, it looks like, has missed the last 2 weeks.
I think she's dropping out because I pointed her to another committee. She's not there.
He hasn't voted anybody here.
I haven't seen her in a while.
I think she's because I called her and she
said she didn't where Laval was there. I know they were talking to each other.
I don't think she's been there for 2 months.
She's been absent the last 2 months.
Are you gonna give her a
I was going to, but I was just adding on what Pauline had to say.
Actually, if you call and if she is going to resign, it's better if they resign than us having to.
Exactly.
Give them that option.
I think it would be nice if people told us they're resigning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Evelyn Velez did. And so did
Carol.
Well, I ran into Denise and I said, I haven't seen you for a while. And she said, oh, I don't remember what she said, but some other committee she was appointed to.
It'd also be nice if they gave us like a week notice. Like with the secretary thing, it was hard.
Well, I'll give her, she's got plenty of time. And should she notify Jean if she's going to?
Yes.
That's what we do. Right. Yeah. And just, I'll send her an alt and I'll CC
and
use that.
Okay. And just say, let us know. If you're resigning, please let us know.
Yeah. And that has to go to the clerk. And then you guys know not to print up the stipend sheets for the meeting.
Yeah. That's part of it. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. So, okay. Unmet needs, discussion item.
Unmet needs.
I put this on the agenda because I felt like when we're looking at where we want to provide consultation and recommendations, we should know what the unmet needs are. And you had mentioned that that's something that you guys tracked from the 1-800 call center.
Well, let me kind of just do a brief intro on unmet needs. INA keeps a record of all of the calls that comes into its center from January 1 of 22 through December. They had over 100, close to 170,000 calls.
17,000.
Moving on. Of the 17,000 calls, there were 174 calls that were, I'm not going to say unmet needs, they were unfulfilled. A lot of the calls that come in to INA, they are once off, point in time, one individual's experience. It's not indicative of a community-wide systemic kind of need, if that makes sense. So when you talk about unmet needs, it's really difficult to kind of say, okay, we can give you, this is was unmet, because there are so many
give instances. An example.
I have an example too after that.
Okay.
Yeah.
We get calls for financial assistance. We get calls for medical transportation. We get calls for home delivered meals, rent payment, legal assistance, all of those. We provide those services either directly or indirectly through our providers. If someone calls us on Monday morning and says, I need transportation to my medical appointment that afternoon, we will not be able to fulfill that because there is a 48-hour requirement or notice period. So we can set that up.
So we would be able to think that transportation that is urgent is an unmet need.
I don't know. It's not an unmet need. It might be an unfulfilled request for that particular individual. But for the majority of the community, that process is working. There are many people that will give us the 48-hour notice and will contact us in time to fulfill that their request. But on the spur of the moment, calls that we get that say, hey, I need to be at my doctor's appointment. I need a ride this afternoon. That's not something we would, they'd have to call Uber, they'd have to call a cab or call somewhere else. That's not a service that we would necessarily provide. Doesn't say it's not an unmet need. It's just unfulfilled.
Well, if it's an emergency situation where they didn't have time, that they were all set and all of a sudden the last second it dropped. And then they call, I need to be there too. It's not like, well, you should have done this 48 hours ago. Well, 48 hours ago, I had a ride. It was no problem. Now it's a problem. So that is an unmet need.
Well, no.
No, it's not. I'm,
how is it not?
Okay. Marco, would you?
Because I don't care about the semantics of unfulfilled, unmet. I just want to know what are the issues that are coming up that people are still struggling with. Maybe that's a way to say
it. Because that, Jesus, it's just not, there is the program, there is that need, but their requests are not.
People are still struggling.
INA tracks all of the calls that comes in for several purposes. One, to be able to direct people and provide service to them. Two, to take note of any kind of trends or upticks in services that we do provide that maybe not is not kind of getting met.
Well, we can use different words if it makes everyone more comfortable, like trends.
Okay.
Gaps.
Talk, Meredith. What do you want?
So I know as a former social worker that when I would call different county office on aging and I would make a request for a client in the missing middle, I was sent on a gigantic loop that was unhelpful that still meant that someone didn't get help because they didn't have enough money to pay for the service themselves and they couldn't get Medi-Cal. And so they were just sent like on a rabbit chase. So things like that, I consider an unmet need. Like you've been given five numbers, but do they lead anywhere when you still can't afford it?
So what's your solution?
I don't have a solution right now, but I want to know as a SCAF member if things like that are going on in our community.
Okay.
So absolutely, yeah, they're going on in the community. There's so part of the it's called unmet needs in our database, right? But the main reason we track that, and there's two different ways. So if you notice, 174 out of 17,000,
yes,
90, right? The reality is it's not necessarily that. Because our system is more internal because what we do is we get the call, we also have to provide a follow-up within 5 to 7 business days. So when we provide that follow-up, our senior citizen reps will write notes a lot of times as to what the unmet need was. If, you know, we could, like you said, we could call it whatever we want, right?
Yes.
So they know when they're calling back, were you able to find, you know, whatever it was, say with the transportation or... The biggest thing that we get, most of the calls that we get right now are housing needs, right? If you want to call that an unmet need, that's a big unmet need, especially in our county, because it's super high priced. There is not a lot of dwellings where people could rent for what the amount they're making.
Or Section 8 vouchers.
We just got a call yesterday or 2 days ago about somebody that had a Section 8 voucher, but they want to live only in Costa Mesa. And there's not any availability that are accepting vouchers in Costa Mesa, or they wanted to, so that could be considered an unmet need because they're still refusing what's out there. And we get those calls a lot too. We provide, you know, 3 different referrals to them that we know provide services, but like, no, I don't want that. I don't need that. And like, so that we would consider that an unmet need as well.
So we have a lot of different examples. I'm sure she ran across you. She demanded to live in Yorba Linda. As she came from Cuba, went to Washington immediately to find out what she could get. She, oh yeah, with this voucher, she can live anywhere in the United States. Came to Yorba, I want to live in Yorba Linda. But we don't have that. It's not available. You have to do it. We don't.
Well, see, I guess that as a SCAC member, I wouldn't necessarily want to know about those circumstances because that's, in my opinion, someone just...
He had an option. He chose
that's a lot.
But I'm concerned about the people that call in that they need someone to help them with showering and bathing, or their mom with showering and bathing. Their income is too high. They're a renter and they're rent burdened. There's no program for them. I would like to know that that's going on in Orange County so that we can at least talk about it. That's what I was wanting out of this conversation going forward.
Those type of things are very hard to track through the call center only because, I mean, we 17,000 calls is not a lot compared to what a lot of other agencies get.
Right.
You know, the visibility of our offices is a lot better than it was pre-COVID just because we did a lot of outreach efforts during COVID. So a lot more people know about the office than they did before, but it's still not where it should be. So it doesn't really, like John was saying, paint a good picture.
Yeah, but it's still something that we have access to that maybe we could call it call center trends. I don't want to get stuck on the words, but yeah, I would like to know the trends that you guys are doing.
It's like the per month, what are the top five referrals that we're doing?
Okay.
That's more important versus what are the unmet needs? So every month we can see that. We can see what are the top five, even through the website.
Like issues.
Yeah, what are the top five?
Okay, well, that's great.
Housing, transportation,
how do we get that on a regular basis to SCAC?
We can, I mean, that's something we could
A lot of the information that we have is for internal use only. It's our mostly our work documents. It's a workflow process. We can check and see if we can get that information to you.
Like even if we have a list of the top five every month.
If we have a list of the top five, is there any way for those who are receiving the calls at the call center to track or just make notes that, okay, this is one of the top five when I got this request that kind of falls outside of that program parameters so we can see if the needs of the population are changing that we need to change the program parameters.
I think that's part of the process that they do for tracking is to identify any kind of needs that we haven't even seen yet or that may be changing or there may be a different
emerging. How about trending needs and emerging?
Yeah, that would be good. That's something that would be useful to us because then we could advocate for that because our county is changing and the number of seniors are changing, the needs are changing.
I think what will be more indicative and get you what you need is we are all sitting back and waiting on our needs assessment that will paint a bigger picture of unmet needs. That's not going to come out until the end of this year, actually probably early next year.
So in the meantime, I think I would like to, as a member, just whatever format it's in, whatever you call it, I would like to get some more information about what's happening.
Hang on, Meredith, define it, because when you say broadly like that, get more information. There's so much information. So, you know,
well, I don't know what I don't know. So what do you, based on our conversation today, what would you guys recommend since you're dealing with information?
If you want the top five most frequent calls placed into the call center, I'm sure we can accommodate that.
What is the topic of that?
And we will become more knowledgeable.
What would be is one of the top five referred services. That's
what I'm trying to
do. And then how you were talking about the one thing I was gonna say, like about the unmet need part, the other piece is a lot of times our call center representative will write notes within the client info, again, because it's internal. So if they know what exactly is what the client was denying or they didn't want, that way they don't want to call back or the follow-up, they don't try to refer to the same thing because they don't want it. Or they'll ask, you know, are you now open to that or something, you know? But the notes, that's not really track. We can't really pull the notes. So that's the part that is not captured in just the raw.
And you probably know anecdotally as the manager, other something that you think that there's a trend that's not captured for the top five, you could just share it with us.
When you say trend, like what type of trend? Like what? Like
I think that I'm just having been a person on the other end of the call, calling into the call centers, dealing with clients. I know a lot of times there's just referrals to nowhere. Because the people can't, not because they only want to live in Yorba Linda, but because they can't afford to pay for it privately. That's my main concern as a gerontologist. They can't pay for it privately. There's no government program for them. They're just stuck.
The one thing I can tell you that we have that issue we have with what you're talking about is caregiving. So caregiving is probably one of the greatest needs that we have through the call center that are talking, because you have the private caregivers that it's too much money for them, and then they don't qualify for AIDS.
Yes.
So that gap right there, that's there statewide.
Already. I know it is, but I think that we could deal with it and talk about it and at least know about it as our committee.
But that sounds like you already know that piece, right? Like
I do, but that's
what
we know. She does because she's a social worker.
Right.
I don't know that.
I knew that. That's a big issue.
Sure. Well, I know it's an issue, but I mean all the other issues.
Well, and also I think, Meredith, what you have to keep in mind too as well, we're one of many agencies that those calls come into. You know, you have cities that get calls like that all the time. You know, they may get bumped up to us. They may not.
Right.
They may get.
This is just one touch point.
Yeah. Like Solveig Darner was our community liaison, and that was her job. Not every city has a community liaison.
Yeah.
Her job was to take all of those calls and then figure out, is it a county call I make next? Is it a Molten Miguel Water District? Who is it? So it's.
But that's not an issue. If they're resolving it internally or within the city, that's great. They're taking care of it. We're talking about the ones that aren't getting taken care of.
And. Okay.
But I have a question, though. Meredith was taught, you were mentioning that you're having to call five different places. What happened to the no wrong door? I thought that was supposed to be when they called, it was taken care of, or that person got
so
the call.
We do have the Aging and Disability Resource Connection, which is a partnership between us and the Independent Living Center, which is the Hale McIntosh Center. So we do have extended partners through that partnership where we do referrals, no matter what door they go into. As far as the extended partners, they won't get bounced around like that. What we do is we take their information, kind of explain what their needs are, and then it gets referred to one of our extended partners. We're still trying to increase that partnership with other community.
Are you guys asking people their income so that you can unfortunately say, sorry, you don't qualify for Medi-Cal, and obviously you can't afford private pay, so.
Whoever is the call taker taking that call,
yeah,
they will do that as part of the assessment. Yeah. That's not something we put in the referral because we don't want to put too much PII in there.
Mm-hmm.
All we really put is kind of what their needs are, name and phone number, no date of birth, no nothing like that, because we need to be able to share. That's one of the things about cross referrals amongst agencies. So that's one partnership. There's another one through 211 Orange County, which is Get Help OC, that they're doing something else similar to what the No Wrong Door is. So more and more, the county is looking towards partnerships like that, but it's building partnerships and having the community-based organizations want to be part of this without funding. That's one of the other pieces. We have funding, but our ADRC funding got slashed almost by half for this upcoming fiscal year. So we have to eliminate a couple of positions.
So when you say no wrong door, does that mean somebody will then call them back who you referred them to?
So no wrong door, what that means is no matter what agency they're calling, as long as they're a partner of this partnership, they're going to get the help they need without having to do what Meredith said, calling all the different
But how does that work? Do you then immediately transfer to them, or does somebody return a call to them?
It's a formal referral form online that whoever's taking that call will put their information, their name, phone number, what it is they need. They know what our partners deliver, what type of services they need. So whatever they call Dale McIntosh first, they need some assistive technology. They'll take care of that part, but maybe they also need transportation. They'll send that formal referral online through us, so we can connect them with one of the transportation services. That's kind of what the example.
Yeah, what I'm looking at, because what Meredith is referring to happens quite frequently. We know how the system's supposed to work, but how does the system really work? So if you call up, just what you said, okay, we'll get you the right person. Boom. What does that look like? Does that mean, okay, they're going to call me back and they'll have the answer for me, or a form I have to fill out again? Or, you know, how does that system actually work, I guess?
So once we submit the referral to whatever partner agencies provide the services, those partner agencies will call them back within 3 to 5 days and then set them up and go through the process of whatever the need is.
Does anyone ever audit that process to make sure that's how it's working?
We do the customer service satisfaction surveys, you know, when they get services through. But it's not, we don't have an ADRC-wide customer service satisfaction. That's going to be every partner agency kind of has one. We do take a look at some of the, you know, processes and make sure that they're working. We check in with our supervisors for all of our partners on a monthly basis.
Being better all the time.
Being that this is still new, the other, like I said, the other problem though is that you have other competing things that are going on with it.
And funding is a huge one as well, or lack thereof.
Yeah, funding with the lack
that of is, it really is.
Because it takes more resources, obviously, to collaborate the way we do, and then to try to get.
And so many people in Orange County, to everyone's point, still don't know where to go to even start,
right?
To even get to the door to open it up.
So we did, We finally were able to do some outreach as far. There was commercials that aired like on just local cable television. They did advertisements to the register and the Spanish language ones. I can't remember the name right now, but
and CDA is advertising all the time right now.
They're starting to do more ADRC, a statewide push.
Yeah.
So, but because it's still fairly new, we didn't get redesignated until 2020, which was the pandemic. Then the pandemic hit, and then. focus our process.
I'm sure it would be fine for SCAG members to have a fictional or help a neighbor or whatever and go through the process and see what it's like.
Well, I also think what SCAG could do is we could make sure that the senior center directors and their staff know, because I would think someone in the community, like, where do I go and start a new senior center? And so we should make sure that they know where to refer them, how to.
Right. They often start online, I know, from being on online groups.
But I think, and there's also, though, a lot of people who don't do the online yet. We're still dealing with that generation of seniors. So.
Oh, these are the adult children. They're like, mom, has a problem.
But I think a good place to start would be the senior center directors and their staffs to make sure they know Paul Marco.
Well, and also you got to keep in mind, I mean, it's not only older adults as well, because when I was working with the city, people don't know the structure sometimes. They would call us and say, my kid's going to be late to school today. Can you mark him absent? Excuse me, this is City Hall. You know, you've got a school district, water services, you know, there's a leak on my street. Can you guys call the city? No, we have an independent. So there's a little bit of that, and that's across all ages. That's not just adults. But as Marco said, given the resources that we have, given the funding that we have, I do think, and I've been saying this for years, I think we all need to do a better job of outreach and getting the word out to community, because part of your, I think, argument is that what people don't know, or they don't know who to call, or they call this place and then they go put this door, that door, and the other. Whereas if they know, if there's a concerted effort to get the information out there, I think that will be a help. I don't think it's going to fix the problem, but I think it might help.
They want to make progress.
Yeah.
It helps because then that person knows, and then when they're talking to their neighbor, oh, I know where you go. You know,
right.
So
right.
It just kind of.
I feel like I tell people at church all week long. 1-800-510-2020. If you call it 211, just no one knows.
Yeah. And I think that's a fair point. I really do. I think this committee can start with helping to kind of get that information out there. We as an organization need to talk about funding, process, bodies. How do we, is this something that we want to focus our efforts on as an agency? And if so, how do we do it? And how are we going to accomplish getting that information out there?
And when people want the information, they've already, in my opinion, been struggling with it sometimes.
And they
3 months, 6 months, a year, they're already frazzled.
Or not. I know Elaine knows this as a council person. I will always get a call. I said, well, that's on our website. I don't want to mess with that. Can you just help me cut through a tape?
Yeah.
That's really what they're looking for. Because I said, well, I can, but that's not really helping you to learn and get other people on board. But yes, I do it.
Yeah, it heightens the frustration. I know even myself, if I call my bank and I get into this automated system,
you're in a loop.
Tell me what you would like to do. Speak to a representative. If you tell me what the details,
say
I can direct
twice.
You to.
Just say it twice like, and I'll send you the representative. I do that all the time.
It's a representative.
It's
representative. Well, if you'll tell me, represent. That's exactly right.
I can get the answer to my questions in 2 seconds if I talk to a person. I'm supposed to spend 2 minutes going button two, button three, four. Yeah. I mean,
I just say representative, and I just keep repeating it. Representative.
Kaiser is the worst. When you call in there, they'll always say, "I didn't understand you."
Or they give you a forced choice, none of which apply. Okay, thank you, and hang up.
And so we also get a lot of people depend on the phone that especially older people.
So I guess that we need to know
wrap it up.
How to help
what is
get the word out.
Well, and also we'll work on getting the top five
referred
messages.
One of the things that we've done too with social services is all their APS workers or databases on their phones too. So that helps when they're out in the field, right? If they need to do that's and I always provide for all their new APS social workers. I go and provide like
a nice.
And how many does the county have?
APS.
So workers. I'm not even sure to be honest with you, but it's not one of the bigger. Well, social services as a whole is employs the most employees. I think it's over 4,400. I don't know how many are in APS. I think it's one of the smaller divisions just because of the. But I know that they got funding through the Home Safe, so I know they hired a lot through there.
Right. We good?
Yeah, that was helpful. Thank you. You're welcome.
Okay. We
to place.
Let's go to action items. SCAC appointment. Okay, I think we've kind of covered that. So we've got Shirley.
Give me a vote.
Move that we appoint Shirley Ashmore to SCAC and the Senior Citizens Engagement Committee for a term ending December 31st, 2024.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Question.
When I saw that on my list here that the term expired.
Yes.
She's just being reappointed.
Yes. She got a new county supervisor who appointed somebody else. Okay.
Yeah, no, anytime.
No, that you're right.
So she'll go back on all this stuff.
Okay, yes, so let's take that vote.
It's a nod for me.
Yeah.
We're all in agreement?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Good. All right, Jerry Port. I beat up everything I was going to talk about. Let's go to standing committees. That would be, it's not Meredith. I keep calling her Meredith. Don't put that on there for standing committees. It's actually.
I don't want to change that.
It needs to, right?
No, they're doing the presentation schedule. Okay, I can talk about standing.
Yeah,
please.
Standing committee,
I guess.
I don't do that.
No, I don't want to do the calendar anywhere. They're doing
The calendar.
Standing committee.
Standing committee. So the Senior Citizens Engagement Committee, I thought, had a really good discussion. We had a presentation from Dave and from Jeanette on the digital divide and all the progress that has been made. Good. So that was excellent. And moving forward, how that's going to look like. We also talked about future topics. And one of the things that we're going to talk about is the different cohorts of older adults in the future and how they have different perceptions of themselves and different needs in terms of service design.
You put your time, you're not really old.
Yes.
And even then, you might get an argument.
I don't know. Housing and transportation, I don't know if they've met since last time. I know Crystal had the
they
canceled.
They canceled last night. They canceled, right? She had a slab leak.
Yep.
And then I don't know what happened with. Well-being. Is anyone there?
You're on that committee?
I'm just at well-being. Do you think I can remember?
It was Lowen.
Yes, we had a presentation on.
Oh, it was very good.
She was very
elder great. Law.
Elder
law. Okay.
Yeah.
Elder law.
Excellent.
Was that Brooke?
Brooke Weitzman.
Yeah.
She was really, really good. She gave a good presentation on all of the things that are out. We even touched on confidential marriages slightly. On that. That's so cool. It's really
tough. So can we get her for the general
SCAG? Can we get her for SCAG?
Yeah, we think she would be really good to talk.
Okay, let's get her.
Get her.
She was really outstanding.
Let's get her then.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And then we still want to hear from the Office on Aging about this, right?
Yeah, that in August. August.
Yeah, okay.
That's what we were looking at.
Yeah, then. Okay, good. I don't have any other comments for the standing committee update.
There was one.
What is
it? We need to talk about senior center liaisons.
That's Patty.
Okay.
Any Mouton.
Patty just took that.
She did that at the last meeting,
right?
Yeah.
So, do you want the elder law for August?
No, August is going to be Office on Aging, but the supervisor thought about our past 5 goals.
About September. September, okay.
Yeah, September.
Okay, members have been standing. Do we have any left?
That was another question.
Every day. That hasn't been said as a good
statement. There you go.
The only concern I have is what we talked about is that these
And I think we committed to following our bylaws, and that's, we'll send a letter out. Nice letters.
It'll be a nice letter.
Do we call Elise before we send that letter? Like,
He's new in his role. Yeah. So Dave and I are going to chat offline.
Yeah.
About
that. That's just a nicety. If you just say, hey, you missed a couple.
I totally agree.
You're going to get a letter. Just be aware. But, you know,
that's why I asked for the membership list, because I've got their email address.
Right.
But I don't have their telephone number.
Okay.
Yeah. We don't put those on here anymore.
We do. We don't give them out to everybody, though. It's because we have a master sheet that has a bunch of information on people, and it's PII. So,
because when I went to call Charlene, I couldn't find her number.
Now I have to go to an old sheet.
Me too, and she wasn't on the old sheet.
They were distributed to us.
We can give you,
but they were.
We can give you emails.
Phone numbers. Yeah.
We can give you emails and we can give you phone numbers, but there's other information that you
want
to have on your application forms in terms of age and all of that good stuff.
Shoe size.
I think what it was
like for breakfast.
This included was pertinent name,
email,
telephone,
and address. Yeah.
And what capacity they were serving. If it was an elected station or a board member.
Yeah, and then it also had their standing divisions too. That was a really helpful roster.
I'll give you what I can give you.
I can send you.
Yeah, I'll give you what I can give you.
Okay.
For sure.
So for the next general meeting, we should also have a little, I guess, that senior citizens liaison will say Patty's name. And I know that the new SCAC members don't have assignments yet for their senior centers. Right. So,
yeah. Oh, you know, I did have one, maybe it's old business. Did we ever get a hold of and now participating with that group that meets monthly, the senior center?
The senior center. Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
They meet bi-monthly.
Okay.
I'm on the list.
Okay.
So I get notifications from Jocelyn at OCASC and Jocelyn Rubio as to when those meetings are coming up. I could not participate in the last one because it fell right in the middle of the C4A conference when I was up. Was it ever? Yeah. But yes, I am aware of it. Claudia is aware of them, and we are going to be participating.
I think Patty. Didn't she want to go to those too, right?
Yeah, Jocelyn is affiliated with her.
She knows Jocelyn. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Announcements from our SCAC members. Anything that hasn't been said that we need to say?
Nothing.
Well, then I guess we are adjourned. And our next meeting. When is our next meeting?
July.
Everyone have a good
gym. Yes, our next meeting is
July 28th. Got it.
Yeah, the end of July.